Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And... Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Graffiti will open up any type of paths you want. It will take you all over the world. When I told people in the corporate world that I am going to travel the world and paint for a living, people looked at me like I had 4 eyes. Like, you are crazy.
Welcome to A Way to Go, a production of iHeartRadio and Fathom. I'm Geralyn Gerba.
And I'm Pavia Rosati.
When you operate as a graffiti artist, it's all about proliferation. You get out there and tag as much as you can, as often as you can. The work is ephemeral, so you have to keep it moving. For the street artist known as Worldwide Crudo, painting without permission in Vietnam, France, Switzerland, Chile, and Peru, among other places, fuels his inventiveness, fixes his adrenaline, and builds his network. Tags and throw-ups are also call for spontaneity, a hallmark of his travel style. When it comes to traveling, for Crudo, taking risks leads to great rewards. He's in the studio with us today to talk about this some more. Thank you for joining us, Crudo.
What's going on?
Crudo, paint a little picture for us of what your work looks like.
First and foremost, very colorful. I like to keep it South American style, spontaneous. Crudo means raw in Spanish. So I just like to just throw it out there. I don't like fine lines. I don't like perfection because I do that when I'm in the office doing graphic design, when I'm doing all the corporate stuff or logos and websites. But when it comes to art, I just want to get drunk and release.
Is it, that sounds really fun. is it representative? Would I be able to say, oh, that's a building, oh, that's a ghost, oh, that's a flower? Or is it more abstract shapes?
I definitely do something called the tumi, which is a ceremonial knife, and that's part of my ancestors, the Incas. So instead of, traditionally, a lot of graffiti artists use a name, and obviously my name is C-R-U-D-O, Crudo, Crudo. So I took a character from the Incas, and it's called a tumi, T-U-M-I, and that's what I use as my bomb, as my character. Basically, I represent my ancestors in every bomb I do. So I did it in a way that's contemporary, with a bombing bubble letter style, but also representing my past without getting too ethnic, rather, about it. Just keeping it fun, funky, and not forgetting the past while also representing the element of hip-hop that I do, which is graffiti.
That I want to see what that looks like, and I think that our listeners do too. So when we put page up about this, in addition to the show notes, we are going to definitely link to some photos of what that tumi looks like. And do you think the luggage company named their luggage company after the tumi?
That's a wonderful question because, oh, that company, every time I look up tumi, instead of the right thing coming up, the luggage company comes up because their SEO is obviously a lot better than whoever's referencing these art tumis.
How long does it take you to produce a work of art on the fly?
Yeah, you said it's spontaneous, so.
Okay, illegal graffiti, you only have so much time and it depends. It's all mental. Sometimes you could literally get away with doing 5 to 10 minutes, but in your mind, you're like, I only have a minute. It depends because it depends your state of mind. If you're nervous, if you're just in a rush, you don't know what car's coming, you let cars pass by, is that a cop, is that a not? So I usually don't take more than a minute because I know I could finish mine in a minute. I used to take about 2 minutes, but I got so good at it, I could be under a minute now.
And how big is a piece?
I want to say I could do something by 3x3. I try to go at least 4 to 5 feet to about 4x5 feet. And so you got to use the paint, just make sure it's a...
Cans.
A high-pressure can with a big nozzle to just go quick.
They're bubble letters, so you're filling them in along the way. So it's
exactly.
Like fully colorful, full drenched wall.
For sure. Like, if we're on the streets and we have no time, it's just I got to be as quick as possible. But if I have time, like in the train tracks, then yeah, we'll put more color, more flavor into it, and definitely it'll appeal to more people.
How many cans are you taking with you? Like, do you have a lot of gear that you're taking with you?
So... When I started bombing in that sense, I would bring too many cans and I would bring the wrong colors and this and that. And people would be like, you are fucking sloppy right now. Bring only the cans you're going to use and have a color scheme, because I love to go bombing. Bombing is another term for going out painting.
Okay.
So from there, like, I would always mess up. So they were like, just bring what you're going to use and bring the right colors, because I would just be scrambling this, that, walking around, rattling the cans, and you're making yourself hot boy, which means that you're bringing too much attention to yourself you shouldn't. So I want to, on a good night, I would say like 4 cans, and make sure the person has 4 cans, and you can interchange and share. That's what it's all about.
All right, so that means that you're tagging in teams? Are you often doing it solo?
I never do solo. You can't do it solo. You need to look out. I got too many past traumas to just be doing it by myself. I think everything's this and that. So I definitely go with people who I trusted and more experienced.
What about some of the destinations around the world? Can you tell us a little bit about how and where you've tagged?
So I recently came back from a 6-month hiatus. I was working at a global advertising agency that has offices all over the world. And I put myself on the deadline. I'm like, you know what? This is... too much. The corporate world is too much. It's like you're killing my creative juices. I just wanted to go home and go to sleep and wake up and do it again. I wasn't in a good place. So I told myself, you know what? I'm going to save up. I'm going to give this place 2 years. And as soon as that date hits, which was exactly 1 year last year, I quit and I went on a 6-month hiatus. And I did so much graffiti that the Interpol should be looking for me right now. Put it that way.
Where did you go?
I started off in Thailand, and then I went to Myanmar, Vietnam, South Korea, and then from there, I went to Peru, that's where I really did, like, the most atrocious types of art crimes you could think about. Put it that way, Fujimori got nothing on me. That's all I gotta say. And that's the old president that ran away while in the mid-presidency. So that says a lot.
When you are traveling around to these places, are you connecting with people who can be your bombing partners beforehand? Or is there like an underground network that you get connected to?
That's a very great question, because a lot of old timers are like, oh, you know, Instagram, social media killed graffiti, blah, blah. Like, look, sit down, old man, old woman. Look, check this out. This is how it goes now. The game is online now. Get over it, you know? Get down or lay down. If I didn't have an Instagram, I would not have as many connections around the world that I could be able to paint with people. So I'm new to the game, too. I've been on Instagram a year and a half. Because, I don't know, something told me, like, you have to make it. You need an online presence, because the world is not... How could the world see something you do in one neighborhood? You go out one night and you could do 20 spots.
Right.
And only people that are there see it. And whoever sees it doesn't even care, because they're not part of the art form. Why would I care what you do? Number two, it's going to get erased. And that's it. You did all that in vain. You put all that investment, all that risk of getting locked up that night, of getting charges, fines, in vain. So what do? You share it online. It lives forever.
Do you put your hashtag... Your handle underneath your tags?
Definitely, at WWCRUDO, always.
So are you usually going back the following day, taking pictures of the work that you did the night before, and then...
I like to record live videos on the spot.
Which is another reason why you want to have a partner with you.
Yes.
And does this mean you're working during the day?
No, at night, always.
At night. So they're nighttime videos.
Because everyone gets out of work late, it's at the other. Yeah.
But don't you want to go back the following day to see it and all its big
You can't return to the scene of the crime.
No, I always, that's the best part of it.
You totally get to return to the scene of the crime.
You want to walk around and you want to be like, yeah, it's me.
You say out loud, that's really good. Who did that?
Wow,
who is this guy, Crudo?
Some genius. Some genius.
Exactly. That's why I do a face, because when people do letters, it's too abstract. Sometimes they do it too funky and people can't read it. I want the everyday common person to see a face. And everyone could relate to the face because we all see our face in the mirror every single day. So there's something about the psyche of a human that when they see a face, it's naturally like, oh, okay, you look at it because it's like looking at another human being. That's why I do a face. Everything I do is for a reason because I come from a marketing, advertising background. I could do my letters over and over and again. People are going to be like, ah, that's just letters. Oh, I could read it. I may not read it. They're just going to be like, people have a 1 second attention span, especially in the greater New York area where we live at. We're bombarded by advertisements and everything. You can't even look at a YouTube video without getting hit with, like, my song is 1 minute and I have 4 minutes of advertising.
Right.
So I make sure to do something that's gonna, boom, you're gonna remember that, like a stamp. Like when you can see my for 1 second, you'd be like, Crudo's back in USA, you know? Like.
So when Crudo was in Vietnam, when you were in Thailand, was the work taking on a local flavor or was it the same style everywhere, all over the world?
It's very funny you ask that because I do a Peruvian style, Inca style, but when I go to places, I happen to see other faces that remind me so much of mine, and I try to mimic like certain features. This is a hard medium to work with, so I can't. It's not fine art where I have the time to have the details, especially if I'm doing illegal graffiti on the fly. But I've been places where I take references. When I was in Thailand, I'm like, that's my face right there. That's Crudo. So
the Thai style of Crudo.
Yeah, exactly. So I take that and I will try to do it at the moment.
So if you tag in Rome, you're going to put big Roman noses on people.
Of course. And with the Roman numerals there and everything. Julius Caesar headpiece. Like, I'll replace the Tumi headpiece with the Roman headpiece if that was the
laurels
case.
Laurels and things like
of
that.
Of course.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
I'm trying to make it that's worldwide. Like, not just, you know, the origins are here, but I want to make it for everybody because then everyone's involved and everyone likes it even more.
There is an advertising overtone to this because you're making the brand really identifiable. So your professional training, so to speak, is creeping into, right? Your style.
You're absolutely right. But no, definitely my marketing advertising background is just like it has a, because honestly, graffiti is nothing more than guerrilla marketing. That's just what it is.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
If you use paper, you're a human. But if you choose paper, you're a papertarian. Someone who lives a paper-based lifestyle because it has a positive impact on the planet. And also because it's the easiest choice you'll make all day. Seriously. It's as easy as reaching for boxed instead of bottled water. It's as easy as opting for beauty products that come in paper packaging. It's as easy as grabbing eggs in a cardboard container. And that's all in one trip to the grocery store, which, if we're being honest, you were planning to go to anyway. But paper isn't just an easy choice. Papertarians know that it's the smart choice, too. Because paper comes from trees, a renewable and sustainably managed resource. And paper products are designed to be recycled. In fact, when you choose products that come in paper-based packaging, those fibers can go on to be recycled up to 7 times. So why wouldn't you go papertarian? I'll wait. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Have you made the switch to NYX? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from NYX. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from NYX are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try NYX. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to NYX. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's nyx.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Did it feel special to be bombing in Peru?
It was, I'm telling you right now, I don't even know how to explain it. It was destiny, because the Tumi comes from Peru, and, you know, my parents, my mom comes from Peru. Everything tied in. It's like, this is what you were supposed to do, and this is what you were supposed to be. And as soon as I got to Peru, I got so much love, only because of Instagram, I'm not going to lie. Like, I got to Peru, and I made sure to do, like, one or two on my own. I posted it, and I'm, like, looking for people in Peru to bomb. I'm from New York. You got to sell yourself like that. I'm from New York. And you can't be scared. You can't be scared of the risk. Or you're going to get robbed. Stuff, the other. I'm like, I'm not worried about that. I got family in Peru. I know how Peru goes. I know how third world countries are. So graffiti is a tight-knit community. I met one person. He invited me to an event. And there happened to be a hip-hop event that week where there was breakdancing, emceeing, and graffiti. And they said, it would be an honor for you to go there. Not even looking at my level of skill, just showing love, because I was from New York. And I said, yo, I'm Peruvian. From there, I got there, and it was spiraling from there. There was even a romance with a certain artist that was a female graffiti writer. It was like, it just turned into a bomb until 3-4 in the morning, and romance until 5-6-7. Who knows? It was a great time. Telling you, graffiti will open up any type of paths you want. It will take you all over the world. When I told people in the corporate world that I am going to travel the world and paint for a living, people looked at me like I had four eyes. Like, you are crazy.
So the living part, I mean, this sounds like a great way to do your thing. Just travel around, have romances, like drink some
leave
beer,
a mark behind.
Exactly.
But is there a path for making a living doing what you are doing?
Yes.
Or do you always have to have the advertising, marketing, corporate thing on the side?
Both. Both.
Okay.
But you can't be scared to take a leap of faith. You can't be scared to lose everything.
I like the idea of taking a sojourn, you know, working, quitting, taking a sojourn, then going back to work. That sounds like a good way to do it.
I quit, and I'm not going back, because there's more money to be made outside from the corporation. There's more money outside to be made than the corporations. That's why I can't go back, because I've seen the truth outside. How does a person that came from two people that jumped the border from South America in the 80s, they left the political craziness that was going out there. You know, they left the Colombian drug trade during the 80s. My mom left terrorism in the 80s from Peru, Colombia, all this madness. How did they jump the border, and how did me get here? And I'm traveling all over the world, have a stable living. I'm at 28 countries, and I'm not going to stop till I get to 100. And I'm painting all other 70 countries while I'm there. Know that, illegally. And legally.
Well, but what's interesting about the fact that it's illegal, it's also becoming incredibly recognized, right? Like, people are really excited to spot a Banksy. And if a building has a Banksy, it's becoming, there's a whole way in which street art in the last 10 years has become a force in tourism, right? There's the Wynwood Walls in Florida. There's Valparaiso in Chile, which is a whole neighborhood in Melbourne, streets that you need to go to see the graffiti. So what do you think of this kind of graffiti street art tourism?
Now you say that, you just sparked up some excitement in me. Because Valparaiso in Chile, what you just mentioned, I happened to go there a couple years ago.
It's great, right?
Yeah, I love
it.
It's like legal graffiti. It's like one of the cities that has the most graffiti everywhere, illegal and illegal. But people, the residents, let you do whatever you want. I went there in 2014. A really good friend of mine from Chile that was living in New York for a good 15, 20 years, he got deported because he got in some trouble. And he went over there, he speaks English perfectly, and he's doing graffiti tours and wine tours. And he's killing it in Santiago and Valparaiso. So I went to go visit him, and I'm like, this is insane. And going back to what you said, Pavia, like Art Basel in Wynwood in Miami District in December, it just gets bigger and bigger. And not only that, but all the major brands are getting into it. Gucci,
and they're
Prada.
Hiring, right, and they're hiring people like you
right.
to go and do
and you
this
said
stuff.
Banksy, look at Obey Shepherd. There's so many successful stories. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's just another art form. But just because the powers that be say that it's not the right thing, you know, there's always, with any new movement, there's always going to be some opposition, which is fine. I'm pretty sure Picasso, I'm pretty sure the Van Goghs, the greats of all times, they all went through the resistance during that time. We can't say we weren't there.
Yeah.
We're the modern day, we're them. We're the streets, and we are the modern day real artists.
So you don't think it's a cheesy thing to go on a graffiti tour? You think that that's a good thing? Because
no, I want graffiti to be monetized. I want graffiti to have the contemporary respect that it deserves. Beyond the Streets in Brooklyn just hosted the most amazing thing ever. And every single day there's more and more acceptance because we are a valid art form just like any other valid art form.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting to see how, like, the legal world and illegal world kind of come together. You have to be comfortable with kind of moving beyond those borders.
And art is very subjective. Yeah. Art is very subjective.
Yeah. So can you tell us about the time you worked? You traveled and made it work to your advantage and being spontaneous.
I would definitely tell you that, but I'm going to give you a quick brief of who I really am. I am from a blue-collar neighborhood, working class. Risk is all I know, and I love taking risks. I love being spontaneous. I'm not really scared to go to jail. I'm not scared of anything except God. But besides that, going back to the trip, I'm super adventurous, as you can tell. It's in my genes. My parents hopped the border just because they didn't want to be where they are, and they just made a living, you know? So I'm so spontaneous. I'm just like, you know what? Let me go to Asia, because I've gone to so many places in Europe, and I got so many places in the Americas, South America, Central America. I'm like, I want to go somewhere that I've never gone, like another continent, you know? And people said, like, a lot of travelers that I met around the world, like, if you want to go, start with Thailand. And I heard a lot of great things about Thailand. So I went on a whim. I was like, you know what? You know, I'm going to Thailand. I did not look up anything at all.
Did you know where to fly to? Did you say, I'm going to Bangkok and I'll take it from there? Did you know where
to know that by default, always go to the cities, because I always want to do a little bit of graffiti before I dive into, like, you know, like the deep end, you know?
So when you landed at Suvarnabhumi Airport.
Oh, let me tell you this.
Which I like to say just because I remember that it's Suvarnabhumi. Did you know where you're going to be sleeping that night? Or did you just land and say, I'll figure it out?
That's a good question, because a lot of times I get places and I don't have no plan. I just try to find some Wi-Fi. I'm like, oh, what's a hostel around here? That's how on the fly I am. But no, since it was Thailand, I was a little bit, people were like, oh, yo, you're going to get cut up and you're going to get chopped up. I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, seriously, like, you don't even know what you're talking about. I've been, I don't even care if that was the truth anyway. I'll still go.
And so you figured it out when you got there.
Yeah. So as soon as
I don't think anybody travels like this anymore. I mean, everybody, the number of people who tell me, well, I have a Google spreadsheet for my trip. And I'm like, I don't. But
you do a lot of research.
I know. I know where I'm sleeping.
You have to understand this. My dad has been traveling since he was 13. And he's like 60 now. My dad has been working at airports for combined at least 40 years. And he's only like 60.
You feel comfortable taking a flight and you're just looking at a cheap way to get there.
Hearing my dad's stories, he's like, I used to just go somewhere. There was no internet. I just had a map and I just figured it out. And I met people and I heard things and we just did what we did. So I was like, yeah, that's how I am without even maybe indirectly being influenced by that. Since it was Thailand, I at least had one destination. I had it for one night in Bangkok. But as soon as I got there, I'm like, I love figuring out the trains and the how do I get there without just taking a cab or a Uber or whatever case may be. I like to just go there how they go there, the locals. Right. I want to be as local as possible everywhere I go. All right, so yeah, I get to Thailand, I get to Bangkok. I'm like, yeah, I'm in the capital. This is what's up. Essentially, it's 24 hours. I get there and I'm like, okay, where's the hostel? So I take the main train and I go there. You know this and that. Number one, always get a SIM card. You need a SIM card no matter where you go. Because then you have Google Maps and that's it. You're good. I get to the hostel and I'm like, okay, I have one night. I'm in Bangkok. Cool. All right. So I'm literally sitting there. I'm 5 minutes into there. I overhear because they're right next to me. They're talking really loud. And I came too early. So my check-in, I had to wait like 2 hours. So I just sat down in the, you know, like by the, I love going to hostels because it's so community. I hear two people talking and one person's asking all the right questions. He's so insightful. I could tell he's like, just memorizing stuff, because that's the thing about me. I don't memorize nothing, because I'm mass spontaneous. So sometimes I do look for that stability and that, you know, the duality, like the yin and the yang. I'm like, this guy's an archive, and he has a good vibe from far away. How do I feel this energy? And you're like very, very far away, like at least like a good 10 feet, you know? So from there, I'm like, let me just go up to him. I'm like, yo, what's up? And he's like, hi, you know? Like, you know, he's from India. He doesn't know what I'm talking about. I come up to him like, yo, what's up? And he's like, hello, you know? And I'm just like, what's going on? He's like, I'm just here. I'm in Bangkok. I've been here for 3 days. What's up with you? I'm like, I just got here like 5 minutes ago. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, what are you doing tonight? What are you doing right now? Like, what's going on? Like, what's the wave? He's like, I'm going to Karbi. I'm going down south to the islands. I'm like, could I come? He was like, Exabala. I'm like, what? He's like, he's like, two is better than one. And I was just like, and we started laughing. I'm like, okay. I'm like, you mind if I join? And
that's just when like said. That. You've known him for like 15 minutes at this point. But you got a sense he's got some good energy.
Even less. I know him for like 1 minute. Because I got there and I was there 5 minutes. Then I went up to him. And within 30 seconds, I agreed to go with him down south.
Okay.
Like to the Karbi Island, you know?
So then how long did you guys end up spending together? How much time?
This is a funny story because the plan was to go for 2-3 days. We bought a one-way. Like, yeah, let's go 2-3 days to the south. There's a bunch of islands. He's like, I've been here 3 days. This is a city. I mean, I could tell it's a city. I can't do much here, but, you know, the usual. When you go to a big city, it's only partying.
Drinking.
And for me, graffiti.
Right.
But at that trip, I wasn't too... It's my first time in Asia. Overwhelmed, 24-hour trip. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get here and do graffiti. At the state of mind I am now, I would bomb it as soon as I get there. I'm like, I'm going to start bombing at least 2-3 days, and then we'll go somewhere else. But that particular day and time, I'm just like grateful that I got to Asia for the first time. So I'm here in the hostel 5 minutes. I speak to him in under a minute. I already agreed to go to Karbi with a stranger off of vibes.
And how far away was that from Bangkok?
It's like saying New York to Miami. It's not that crazy.
So you had to get on a plane like the following day.
No, the same day.
The same day. So you're like the...
You're like, see you, Bangkok.
Yeah. No, check it out. Check
youth
it out.
Hostel, I don't actually need that room. Exactly. You can give it to someone else.
I lost one night. That's why I always underbook, always under plan. I always get somewhere and don't even get a hostel. The only reason I got one night is because I'm like, I'm in Asia. Let me at least sleep one night.
But and you didn't.
I didn't. I didn't even get
so
to check in.
So did you leave town without bombing anything?
I didn't. Yeah, the capital, because I love bombing capitals. But I couldn't.
Did you bomb the beach?
Yes, we did. The south end.
And did this guy, Guav?
Guav.
Was he new to the world of street art, or was he?
Yes, and not only that, but it's the first time he ever left his country of India. So, but the only reason I went up to him, because he sounded like he's been all over the world. The questions he was asking, the way he was archiving stuff, the way he was, I only overheard him for a minute. And that's me, while working, unconsciously hearing him.
So when you told him, look, I got to do this thing and I need you to do Lookout for me, what did he say?
He loved it. He was like, what is that? He'd never seen it before.
Right. Wow.
And he's like, he just laughed at it because he was so much, he's like, he understood what I felt, the adrenaline, the rush.
Right.
So he was just like, sometimes he would even, he's like, go do it. I'm just like, all right, God, just watch out. And he's like,
oh, you like created a monster.
Yeah.
He's like, I need my fix.
He was being like an enabler to like the adrenaline rush that I crave. But the funny part is that while we were in Bangkok, he told me he's going to go to Karbi. And I'm like, what time? He said 8. I'm like, okay, it's 12 now. And then we're like, well, we have a couple hours in Bangkok. And he just brought me out to the temples and...
So he ended up showing you around Bangkok because he'd been there for 3 days.
He's like, you know what? You're not missing nothing here. It's a big city, and all you want to see, I could show you in 2-3 hours. So we literally took the canals, which if you're ever in Bangkok, I recommend.
They're awesome. It's really cool to do that.
Cool canals. And we saw like 2-3 Buddhist temples, the Laughing Buddha, this, that, the other. It was great. And I'm like, okay, I'm done with Bangkok. Let's go to Karbi.
How long did you spend in Karbi?
This is the funniest part because we bought a one-way. It's like when I met him, I felt like I know him my whole life. I felt like it was a mirror image of myself because when he was like, we're only going to buy a one-way trip. I'm like, yeah, of course we are. So it was like we knew each other whole lives and we planned it. We're like, yeah, we'll be back in 2-3 days. You know, let's go down the south, you know, check out the beaches and come back. It ended up being 2 weeks.
Just you and him, 2 weeks.
All over Thailand. Amazing. Not going back to the capital. And it taught me a big lesson. It basically taught me a lesson of like, underpack, underplan. Because during that trip, I had my backpack, but I also had a huge luggage with jackets and different, because I'm like, yeah, this one's for
and
the
paint.
Club.
And paint?
You can't travel with paint.
I was going to ask, so how do you get your stuff when you're in a foreign place that you've and just landed always, in?
Yeah, yeah,
and it's always hard because the minute you're buying a case of spray paint, everyone's like,
what
are
you doing
are you
with that?
Going?
That's the beauty of it because finding, a lot of times I can't paint places because I can't find paint.
And you said that you need like the high pressure paint to do it really properly.
Yeah,
so it's
sometimes
not just...
you find like some local cheap brand. They're not cheap, but like something I'm not accustomed to.
Right.
And it's different.
Right.
It's lower pressure. It's different colors.
You got to get used to it.
And you have to like hunt for it, you know, because some places like we don't use spray paint. If you want to do a paint job, you have to do it with the regular way you paint.
And so in this case, in Thailand, what were the materials like?
So we
could
did,
you find spray paint?
Yeah, but after digging and digging and digging... We found spray paint, and this guy was loving it. And I always carry markers because that I could bring from, you know, you could travel with that and have a nice tip fat marker that is still has a very good graffiti aesthetic. And this guy was loving it. This guy was like, he never saw graffiti in his life. He never saw it live. And he was just enabling me and watching my back.
Were there ever any moments, I know you said earlier that you're not afraid of anything, and that's mm-hmm. such a nice way to go through mm-hmm. life. But were there ever any moments... And any of the travels, either this trip to Asia or any of the times that you've been traveling, that you think or thought, oh, shit, I've gotten myself into something. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now.
Definitely. When I was in Peru a couple months ago, anytime I see the law, I get like very like, oh, it's the law. You know what I'm saying? They could lock you up in a cage anytime you want for any amount of time. And I'm not from that country, so they'll definitely have no pity on you. And I've heard horror stories about jails and from all over the world, right? And especially if you're not
from there.
They're gonna be like, how dare you do that, you know? So when I was in Peru recently, but being that I know so many people there and I go with the right people, if I'm gonna break the law somewhere, I go with the right people. That's key, always.
Literally your partners in crime.
Yes.
Right.
Literally. Because then they speak for you, this and that, the other. And, you know, worst case scenario, when I got caught in Peru, like all the stuff, all they do is take your paint. And I was like, this is it? Like, you know, if I was back home, I'm getting locked up at least that night and then I'm getting processed. So when I saw how lenient stuff was in other countries, I'll exploit that to the fullest. But that's not my fault. That's their fault.
Or they just have different priorities.
Of course.
Right. And like, yeah. Spray paint is not a huge priority if they have other things that they're dealing with.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, at the end of the day, the biggest vandals are, you know, if you burn the Amazons, if you burn forests down, if you're dumping oil in oceans, you're the real vandal. So don't look at me.
Very
you know
well
what I'm saying?
Said,
you
yeah.
are the real vandal.
Very
know that.
Well said, yeah.
When you're knocking down neighborhoods to build condos down, you're the vandal.
What advice would you have for somebody who is afraid of taking risks, but likes what the stories that you're telling and wants to add a little bit of spontaneity to their next trip? What could they do? Like, what's the one thing that you
don't
can
be scared to reach out to strangers and always follow your gut? Because your gut doesn't lie to you. That's the divine telling you what is and what is not. And not everyone that does bad things is a bad person. And not everyone that does good things is a good person. Because that's all subjective. And that's all smoke and mirrors. You got to go with your gut.
Crudo, it has been a really great time to go on this adventure with you, bombing and tagging all over the world. So thank you so much for coming in and talking to us and sharing your stories. We're all going to follow you at www.crudo.
C-R-U-D-O. W-W-C-R-U-D-O on Instagram.
And maybe we'll run into you somewhere, and then we'll end up on vacation with you.
Of course, and I'll introduce you to Guav. And
yeah, Guav seems indispensable. We need him on our next trip.
Everybody needs a Guav for their travel journeys.
Yeah. Facts.
Thank you so much, Crudo.
Awesome. Pavia, Jarlene, Marcy, I appreciate everything.
And that's our show. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please subscribe.
And, you know, leave us a 5-star review.
A Way to Go is a production of iHeartRadio and Fathom. You can find the details we talked about in the show notes and on our website, fathomaway.com. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter when you're there.
You can get in touch with us anytime at podcast@fathomaway.com and follow us on all social media at @fathomwaytogo. Please tag your best travel photos, #travelwithfathom.
If you want to really go deep on the travel inspiration, pick up a copy of our book, Travel Anywhere and Avoid Being a Tourist. I'm Geralyn Gerba.
And I'm Pavia Rosati. And we'd like to thank our producer, editor, and mixer, Marcy DePina, and our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.